Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, this is your girl Isis Wisdom of IsisWisdom.com, and you are now on the Isis Wisdom Show, and we have a special guest this evening. His name is Seven, and he wrote a book called The Code to the Matrix. Now, I'm going to tell you guys up front, when you guys read the book, it's going to throw you off, because it threw me off when I first read the book. But I will tell you that it's definitely going to knock down some barriers and whatever hang-ups and questions that you may have, or that if you might have been swaying to the left or to the right, this book is definitely going to give you some clarification about what is going on with our reality at this point in time, what is going on with the planetary alignments, effects that it's having on us as human beings, the whole nine. So I'd like to introduce you to my people. Seven, what's happening with you?
Oh, man, it's happening. It's happening now. Feeling really good tonight. Feeling really good. And I thank you for allowing me to be on the show.
No doubt, no doubt. Now, you're out of Costa Rica, correct?
Well, yeah, currently I'm in Costa Rica now.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about your book. This is the Code to the Matrix, the first edition, The Golden Rule. Can you give people just a general synopsis about what the book is about?
I'll do my best. It's so difficult because there's so many different topics discussed, and a person can read a paragraph of the book and really be immersed in that for the rest of the week, at least. But the book basically highlights facts, because it's very important to deal with facts, especially when it comes to spirituality, because facts definitely lead to application. So what the book is basically showing is that, one, with the words, and as many people know, the words have a hidden meaning into, and the words is more like a Microsoft Windows or a Unix for the brain. And so it shows the meaning of the words, but also entwined in that, because there's over 200, 300 illustrations. The book is available for free. I want that to be known now. But what it shows is that it shows in the illustrations, and it shows a whole story of basically what's going on in the world today and what point we are in the ascension process.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the word ascension, because a lot of people may not know exactly what that means. And, of course, you know I have a hip-hop audience and a much youthful, you know, audience. So break down exactly what is ascension exactly.
Well, from the text in which we're speaking on it, because all the words have definitely deeper meanings, and some of those meanings not so positive. But what we're talking about is we're talking about the transformation or the transmutation of the soul, either allowing a person to ascend or descend. There's both of those going on, and so that's really what a lot of our work focuses on, is the exact science to allowing a person to go into their next process.
Okay. Now, I've had these conversations with you and, of course, with my other spiritual brother, Lynn Honor, and we were talking about how, you know, planet Earth itself is on a third dimension, which basically represents the material, which you can touch, see, and so forth and so on. How do you explain to someone who deals within this realm how to disconnect from that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we fully understand exactly what is going on? Like, can you get a little bit more in depth about that?
Sure. Yeah, I definitely want to send some positive vibrations out to Lynn and Honor. I mean, it's such exemplary work, and me and him are one and the same. Now, the third dimension is the material dimension, 3D, a third density. And people would have to understand the first, the different realms that are dealt with. You have planes, you have expanses, you have the abyss, and you have dimensions. Of course, with the root of this word, dimensions, is dim. So anytime a person referring to dimensions or densities, they're generally talking about materialistic planes. And that's also how, in language, if you use one word, let's say everyone uses the word God, to explain something that, you know, so much more, has multiple meanings, then there could automatically become a disconnection in the understanding of what's really in the word. But from the third plane, the person has an opportunity to, because we just call this the present reality, but the person has an opportunity to rise or, again, descend. I always like to highlight that both are going on, so a person doesn't imagine that everyone is ascending here. That's, you know, it's 50-50, which is something we have to explain later on how that exactly works. But the material plane itself is one that can be mastered by a person learning what part of the body is material, which is the body itself, and then thus learning how to separate the body from the soul.
Right. Now, these things are not talked about per se through the preachers and churches. These are not talked about, you know, by anybody that deals with religion. So when you say things like that, you know, to most people, it would seem kind of foreign to them. It's like, huh, that's not what we were told. And go ahead.
Well, what it is that people would have to understand there's what they know, like the masses know, and then there's what the cardinal knows, or what the Jesuit knows, or what the imam knows, or the Sufi knows. And that is just how religion has to be approached. If one's not total with anything, they'll only see confusion because they're confused. They'll see a mirror of themselves. But when you get fully into something and examine it, then the level in which of information that you're getting at that point is totally different than when one is, you know, half-heartedly doing something.
Right.
So I would definitely say there is another doctrine that is already in circulation that goes out to higher individuals in mysticism. Or they have many names for this, magic or whatever you want to call it. But those are the books that contain the actual story of how the planes and how the dimensions of the things are set up and what exactly is there, because this is also a world that has already been in existence.
Wow. And this of course, comes back into play with your book, you know, the actual code to the Matrix. Why did you name it that? Like, what made you up with that name?
I had made a transformation myself, and I had discovered, some things were shown to me within the language from a higher transformation that I had made within my own soul. And from that moment, I began to cipher and unravel factual things that were going on that I always suspected, but now I had actually a backbone to go by. I mean, I could, you know, we can give that some examples definitely later on or even now, but the backbone. Well, okay, so let's take, for instance, this term God backwards is dog. In Kabbalah, which English in every language has a Kabbalah, meaning that the letters are a number. You just would have to discover the number. English just doesn't read out A, B, C, D, E, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It reads out a little bit different. But with this term, one could say dog, D-O-G, has a certain, let's just say, has a certain mathematic equivalent. Let's say it's 10. Even if you made a god, it would still have the same mathematic equivalent of 10. So the word is still the same. So this shows that just because a word is moved around and played around with doesn't mean it has an opposite meaning or it has a different meaning altogether. It has the same meaning, and they call these anagrams. But the thing is that now it gets deeper because there's embedded a code. So if you say dog or you say God, then you understand that in this mysticism that's being practiced by the speakers of this language, there's that dog of Anubis or Cerebrus or even connecting into Sirius or a dog star. And that's where they're pulling their energy from. So what they call God is totally different than in Latin America, where they call their god Dios, who's really a short name for Dionysus. It's two different gods. So when people are conned into believing that everyone is worshiping the same god, that's false. They are worshiping the same god by that term, D-O-G or G-O-D. And then so it goes from there. I mean, of course, there's a lot. This is just a three-letter word. I've taken words that have, you know, 12 or 13 different segments in them and showed what the word ultimately means.
So, okay, now I feel you on that because I had come into some information recently about what the word morning means. And so now I don't say good morning anymore. Whenever I speak to people early in the morning, I say good day. Good morning, which Latin means morning, as in morning, you're mourning somebody. So I started thinking, like, well, why would I say good morning to someone? That's crazy. So it's like the energy that is put into these words, it's really weird. It's kind of like reversed. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Like, it seems to me that the English language itself has a very low frequency when it comes to the energy when you speak something. It has a very low frequency. So now I'm beginning to understand that when you say certain things, it's like whatever you're saying is like the reverse of what it is that you're even trying to get out. So when you say good morning, you're basically saying to that person good sadness.
Exactly. With the words, really, what you have a choice of is you have a choice of bad and worst. It's something like Republican and Democrat. There are words, because when you break down all the words, and that's when we started ciphering the code very deeply, and we were searching for something, or as it says in the movie, The Matrix, we're hacking Morpheus. In any moment, he'll tell us everything he knows. Many people think that Morpheus was a positive individual in Greek mythology, but there's a whole different story being told there. But what it's really saying is that the most intelligent minds are working at deciphering what the truth really is, and in a moment, we'll actually discover, and that moment has already passed. So what you really have, though, is you have a whole story going on when you talk, and that story doesn't necessarily mean you're saying backwards. It means that you're saying something completely different. Like when you look at, let's just take the word morning, and then there's a deeper meaning. What is a more, and how do they all play into this? And so what you have is you have a quantum level of the language. Like even when you play the language backwards, it's really Germanic. And you can tell that when you do play English language backwards. So, I always introduce it. It's, you know, we have an opportunity here with the language to examine some things very deeply, because that's where it's been hidden. It's been hidden right in front of people's face, what's really going on, and that way they don't look. It's just like when you have a hand right on your eye, and someone says, "What's written on the hand?" and you can't read it because it's too close to your eye. So that's really where things have been hidden. And so thus, as the veil begins to rise, one can actually see it all around them. And that's one thing about the code. It is the written program for this world. When you really, really get deep into the languages of the world, or Babel as it's called, that is showing you the product. Because once these ideas are placed into the mind, like in school, you teach a child how to spell. A spell is no other than a magic incantation. Then there's another version of English that's more curvier, but it's called cursive. And so does this mean if one writes this way, this is the way to evoke curses? And so this is the deeper meaning behind what people are actually doing every day when they engage in thought. The pen is more powerful than the sword when they engage in writing. At that moment, that's a two-dimensional imprint, anything, especially your signature that you're putting down. And for things on two-dimension, that's all they really can see anyway. They can't see three-dimensional objects. So.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so I saw a few of your videos, and I must say your critical eye is serious. Like you, your the last video that you just did, which was the I think it was the worship of the serpents or something like that that you just did here recently.
Serpent worship.
And yeah, I had to look at that like three times, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I had to look at that three times only because the first time I seen it, I saw a couple things that stood out to me, and one of the things that stood out to me that really had me tripping was the newscaster that was talking, and he's talking about, you know, the program, the new program that the government's trying to unleash on the youth as far as keeping track of the children. And I'm looking at the dude's eyes, right? And I'm like, I've seen him. You know how you look at something, but in your other mind is saying you didn't see what you thought you just saw. But then you turn around and you point that out, and you say, no, this is just ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? When you're basically pointing these things out. And then one of the things I don't think you pointed this out in your video, but one of the things that I actually had peaked the third time I had looked back at the video was there was this screen to your right that kind of looked like a circle, and there was, like, I don't know what it was I was looking at because I had my daughter looking at it. I said, hey, what is that? That's this thing, like this screen, like to the very right of the video where the guy's talking, and you can see something in the background. I couldn't make out what it was, but it didn't look too good. You know what I'm saying? So I just got to ask you, you know, like, first of all, how on planet Earth was you able to see all the things that you've been able to see and point out in your videos? I mean, I just started coming into the critical thinking for about 6 months now. And in the process of me doing that, not realizing I had been in autopilot for all this time, you know, in the process of that, it's like now I see movies and I see everything now. It's crazy. And then I sometimes just laugh because I'm like, this they're so blatant with it, it's ridiculous. But when I have my friends come, they don't even see anything that I'm seeing until I actually point it out to them. So how did you develop such a critical eye? But did you always have that, or?
Well, yeah, of course not. I think that, well, what happens
I'm just saying,
is that,
I mean, you're good at this.
One thing that happens with the movies is now when one does have the eye open, like we're shooting another film, we call it the decoder. When one's eye is open about what's really taking place within certain movies and what the symbolism means, the language of hyperspace, as we call it, then the actual movie now deprograms them rather than programs them, because generally when a person's watching a movie, they get programmed. That's how it works with the media. But when you have the secret mystic, as they call it, being able to turn it into what it really means and understand what they're really saying and then what they're trying to do to the brain. And, of course, it gets one stronger because they start to realize, hey, this is really happening. This is serious. But how it happened for me, it's a collective thing of something that's been taking place for 7 years. There was one moment definitely where it spiked. But it's no different than individuals like Lynn and Honor who, you know, when you take life more serious and then you start looking into things more deeply, you see something there. Then in mysticism, there's a law of language, which is that number is the same as shape. Shape is the same as color. Color is the same as sound. And so with that law, everything is interpreted by that law. That's the laws of this dimension, the language of this dimension. So when you have that and you know what these symbols mean when they flash them and things like that, this is now, as they say, a picture speaks a thousand words. You have a thousand words to pick to put together out of 33 frames per second, which is what they're flicking most of the units at that are shooting film and into the brain. And so when you have, again, this foundation, this cipher to be able to dissect what's going on, it puts you back in the game, as I say, because they always use as their symbol the chessboard, which is a 64 bit cube. It's eight sides because there's a lot of mathematics to this. And when an individual is moving like a king, or they're moving like a knight or a bishop, and they're a pawn, the game hasn't even begun yet because they're making illegal moves. So what this does is this gives the person an opportunity to get a real play set here and then get back in the game, which actually, you know, is a loose term. I believe that this is far from a game, but, you know, just in using that terminology, you know, get oneself back into the level of real knowledge.
Okay.
And not emotion.
Now, I'm going to ask you, I may lose some folks, I may not. It looks like I got a good few listeners on here, and I know some of these people are kind of up on it. So I'm going to go ahead and ask this question. What is the significance between the United Nations and the Galactic Federation? I noticed that there are some similar symbols that are taking place here, and I didn't see it at first, and then I've recently seen it. So what's really going on? Let's talk about this superstructure that is placed on planet Earth, okay? And it seems who has placed this superstructure here? And what can the human beings do at this point in time to be able to prepare themselves for ascension to get up out of Dodge? You know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, to really, because I don't even know how much time we have. I just got this feeling that we don't even have much time. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about this superstructure, this pyramid superstructure over planet Earth. It would seem to me that since history repeats itself over and over and over again like a program, that the average person wouldn't understand how to get out of something like this. So break that on down for us. What exactly are we dealing with, hands down?
Okay, so that was a, you know, very broad question, but you know, I'll condense it as best as possible. As above, so below, the person that's accredited with that, which was not the first person to speak it, which was Aleister Crowley, but it is true. The world itself is a fractal of what's going on in space. You can find, even within a molecule, the same thing that you see going on here if you know how to relate the two. But what we have here something came to me like 2 weeks ago and it woke me up because, you know, I get a lot of unseen help. We're not getting much seen help, I will say that. There's not many people that are rising to the call, but we expect that to increase very shortly. But what happened was I was woke up out of my sleep and something said, yes, Evan, you know, if there's a new world order on Earth, there's one in heaven. I guess you should really get yourself together. You know, and this is, of course, coming to an individual that has already, you know, published the book and do as much as I can for individuals, but still understanding I'm behind myself. There's work that needs to be done. We need to get to places. We need to rally the troops, et cetera. But the thing is that what was happening is that I began to understand that, first of all, if you want to affect anything from a higher level, you can also affect it from a lower level. You can affect it from a microscopic level. So when H1N1, or we just call it honey when you spell it out, when the honey came out, then, you know, honey actually kills the bees. And so this is how the embeddedness of mysticism within what's going on in today. And the UN itself is really the Theosophical Society of Thule, which was more really steered towards the works of Hitler's paranormal division, which, of course, Hitler wasn't in control of any of that. Most of the Theosophical Society and what was called the Ascended Masters were dealing with the society, which are themselves and are proven to be center of the earth beings, meaning people who have tapped into what it is to go inner. Because the center of the earth is also correspondent for what goes inside of us. And when people attempt to pray, they send their energy out into the sky like there's a God in the sky for them, but it's really inside. And so that's a simple point to know when one is in prayer, they should send information inside. But anyway, inside is also what corresponds to this earth. There's a magnetic field in the center of the earth, and living around that field versus the one on the surface increases life rather than decreases life. And so these beings have gone across multiple time systems and have unlocked the knowledge that's necessary. I mean, the knowledge that comes about when you're around in long time systems. Like, it only takes 400 or 500 years at times for space travel to even be discovered with the body alone, not with man's technology. Man's technology pulling into space is more like looking at a cosmic junker. No one's really using inorganic technology, metal and steel in space. But again, that I don't want to get too far off into other things. But what the UN has done is they've succeeded in a world domination of a reality. Again, their domination exists on this reality in which they've created by embedding the thinkers in this reality with a structure that allows them to create a hologram that's solid. That's when a person gets fed the thoughts of media and things like that, they create an ego, a doppelganger. And this thing has an auric field in itself that creates a dimension. And that's why when they show you the symbol of infinity, it's really an eight. And it's two universes. So thus in this binary universe, things are really run there. That would be your sleep world, which is why most people are not active in their sleep and can't really remember their dreams. So what this is really about is assimilation. It can be no clearer than that. When a society gets to this level, which it already has, and the population of the soul force intends to increase like it is at this rate, they believe the continuation of the society can only be ensured by making everyone single, meaning that making everyone alike, a hive mind. And these type of ideas for multidimensional beings never really work, and that's what most of us are. And so from this standpoint, one has an opportunity to first get the energy that's necessary to ascend. And I explain that first because this is the most clear point. You can learn all of this stuff, but what you're going to do with it is really what's key, because that's really the big separation. When you take information as truth, we begin to immediately act on that truth, and you change things. Just like if you got a bill that you couldn't pay, you have to call people and see, you know, if they can lend you the money, etc. And so what's happened is because so much information, especially information on 2012 and things like that, has come out, and people feel swamped with this information, and definitely a lot of this information is non-truth, they need a gauge in order to be able to determine if they're reading something that's really true or not. And I believe that's what the code does. It lets a person see exactly what's really going on rather than being led around the circle, because the fact of the matter is human beings, or the mammalian-based being, which the spirit is now, they live in groups, they live in colonies, and they need camaraderie, they need emotion, they need all these different things. And what that in turn does is it allows that person to be very needy of those things. And the person will intend to go anywhere to find that. And society and the controls of society know this, so they place things like religion and their media and their propaganda in the places to fill a person's emotional void.
Right. Okay. Well, we're getting ready to take a break for a quick second, and after that, we're going to come back, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Okay?
Okay.
Follow the leader, Shasta Masay. Follow the leader, Shasta Masay. Follow the leader, huh? This is not a diss record. I repeat, this is not a diss record. It's so powerful that I don't have to shout to you reasons I recorded this record. There's an elephant in the room, and every time I mention it, I'm a fool. But you don't see no hesitance when I move. Ask me who's better in interviews. When I say nobody, I ain't lying, I'm biased. Yep. Last year, I was saying auto-tune should die. And
now
the same DJ that was praising that top campaign, I wanna stop the campaign. What the fuck? I was doing it for the love. DJ Self told me do it for the glove. Before I could listen to what Self said, I heard what myself said. Now I got a buzz. Dudes gave away their X-Files and throwbacks. Maybe they could stop the Made a Million off coke rap. Or the N-word, maybe. Yo, quote that. Make school cool instead of using tools. Make these new dudes getting all the hype. Following the Kanye style jeans type. Understand that cause you popping on some sites doesn't mean you excite anybody or that you nice. We can look at your rhymes, then look at your life, and it just don't match. It don't matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong. My word is law, this is a mandate. These cats is holding hands on mandates. Last month I was needing a straight hit, a single for the party on some Red Cafe shit. Now they twist they whole tunes just the death of auto tunes. Like, yo, you got a joint that sounds like that Jay shit. They follow the leader, shot still a safe. Follow the leader, shot still a safe. Follow the leader, shot still a safe. Follow the leader, look.
I don't have to say this is hip-hop. I don't have to tell you it's real. I don't gotta say this is that K-Slay type of music for you to feel what I feel. Huh? You know how many times I was in the studio and I would harmonize. Engineer said, you know what would sound fly if I added that effect, son? Like Rosie from the Jetsons. I said no, but I ain't care about respect from my peers. Yo, I just ain't feeling. So now death comes at the perfect time. And I heard some lines that me and some other folks said in the verse of rhyme. But it doesn't hurt my grind. I just hope I can still change the game when I turn 39. One person says that they write with no pen. Now putting lyrics on paper is like a sin. One guy says he's a hustler and always been. Everybody follows suit. This should be a constitution. Rap law testing examination for some dudes. They should have to watch Crush Crew. Part-time rapping at the cubicle. A lot of rappers, I'll be dancing at their funeral. Looking down like I'm standing at the urinal. I'm so glad I don't have to do the usual. This is not for Z-Share, but you can download the shit cause it'll be there. This is for the haters, let's be clear. You was waiting for a savior, well he's here. I don't care who you gon' get. I could've auto-tuned this whole shit. And Doug would still be on the corner bopping, saying that my flow was popping. Last year I told you stop it. This ain't backpack rap either. And I ain't trying to bring back ether. I would swallow my heater and take a bullet before I follow the leader. My name's Sha, let's go, huh? Follow the leader, Sha, still a safe, huh? Follow the leader, Sha, still a safe. Follow the leader, Sha, still a safe. Follow the leader, huh? I don't have to say this is hip-hop. I don't have to tell you it's real. I don't gotta say this is that Peter Rosenberg music for you to feel what I feel, huh? Huh? Follow the leader, Sha, still a safe. Follow the leader, Sha, still a safe. Follow the leader. Follow the leader, bitch.
Okay, and we are back with Seven, author of The Code to the Matrix. I was actually going back and looking at some excerpts of your book and whatnot, and I started really thinking about a few things here. And I started really – I wanted to talk to you because I'm really glad that you actually talked about this in your book. I wanted to talk about and touch on these reptilian beings that are governing this planet at this time. What are these beings, man? Like I know that the ancient Sumerians were talking about that they were their ancestors and so forth and so on. So what is the deal with that? Like, what is it that they probably know? I'm sure higher governments know, or people that are very powerful probably already know all this information from the gate. But now a lot of that stuff is now coming into light. There's a lot of people that are starting to be woke up. There's a lot of people that are starting to sense that they've been deceived pretty much all of their life. Everybody, I think, is starting to feel, at least a lot of people that I know. So what is the deal with this whole situation with these reptilians? Do they really exist, or is this just something that was put out there as propaganda?
Well, you know, it's definitely been a lot of disinformation about it, but as far as their existence, what happens here is that with the reptilian races, they're just as diverse as at least the humanoid race and the Lyrian races, which there's even more humanoid races than the Lyrian. So what happens is when a person just says reptilian, there's a snake, there's a lizard, there's an amphibian, in order to put it that way. So when you look at the Am in America, that Am is more of an amphibian versus when you look at Elizabeth, that's a lizard. That's more of reptilian. And it's very beneficial to distinguish this, because what you'll actually think is going on is that there's a war when you start getting deeper into it. And like, first of all, this is still something for people to ultimately accept, but I always say this, is that at every point, even to learn how to read, you had to learn something. So if you ever close your mind to learning new things and imagine that you know it all, then that's the limitation. There's going to be nothing but dissension from there. So the thing is with the amphibians is that there's been a back and forth going on in history with a bloodline that has also mammalian and reptilian and amphibian and even bird-like and aquatic-like beings. And this is what you really see in masonry and as you see in Egyptology, where you see the person with the animal head. Because what was happening during those times is the dimensions weren't separated like they are now, which they're about to be put back together again for our nice little galactic lineup. And that's what people are really going to experience more is when the dimensions get closer together, it's a lot easier to perceive and even definitely to feel that there's another presence. And so what you have here going on Earth especially, because, again, it is still a fractal as a hologram, it contains one – in each piece of hologram, it contains the whole picture. So what we have going on here is we have multiple factions. That's why there's not just one story, and that's why there's a Galactic Federation or a UN. When you see a border on a territory, like when they draw you the border on Russia, when you walk over that border, you're now in another domain, and that domain corresponds to the stars. So you just walked into, let's say, Orion. And then so from there, if you don't understand how that really works with the Ori and who their being is in power and what you have any business doing there and et cetera, then one is steered from that point. Meaning that dead sleeper, which is where the state of everyone is really at, and I'll say it from this level, even the adepts that wrote higher books of higher information even say themselves that they are sleepwalking. They don't say that they're awake. And because they know when you're fully awake, you're completely conscious at all times of multiple realities and dimensions, et cetera. So until one hits that term level or hits that level, they can never say they're awake. And so they say that everyone else is asleep and they're sleepwalking. And in their sleepwalking, they've been able to accomplish a lot of things because it's manipulating the world that is that's unseen. Exactly. That's what it is. It's manipulating the world from an unseen level so that it has an exact effect. So right. So just getting back to the original question is with the beings. What they have really going on here is that they say that there's a passageway, and from the ancient text, that there's a ninth, what they call the ninth passageway, which is a line of a certain type of substance that must be transferred from this galaxy to other systems, almost like a galactic drug. From this level, what it says is that this part of Earth is very abundant in gold, and that gold corresponds in alchemy to the soul. So the gold that you see people have in the mind is also the same gold that they have in their body. Like even Kanye says, you know, he hints and says it's in a black person's soul to rock that gold. And of course, they know what they're talking about. I don't know if the common person who can interpret that knows. But all of this gold and silver and all this stuff that we've put now externalized, or diamonds and all this that we've now externalized, we used to have that to affect our body. If you had an uncut diamond and laid it on your chakra center, I mean, geez. I mean, only when you understand how crystals and how energy works do you understand how what can really happen. And that's really where a lot of the ancient knowledge was really steered with. It was steered into lasers and crystals. Beyond that, there's really nothing that a person needs to know because they open up a pure information stream, and information is everything at a certain point. And so with the reptilian beings, they're in the assimilation now. Like they've done, apparently their story is that they've done this before. Now if you want to just talk about one faction, let's just discuss one faction, Anunnaki. With this faction in particular, there's known to be another being known as Au. And this is the brother of An. And so this is because we're living in a world of An, they never talk about Al, who was their counterpart that was set up on Mars. And so what is happening here on Earth is that definitely the gods that people are worshiping are very affiliated with these Anunnaki beings. And this is kind of how you'll know whether you should escape the reality. Like some people say, that's what they worship, but I worship something different, only to find out later on that they're actually worshiping all out of the Sumerian text. Anything to do with the Talmud especially is all Sumerian text. So when that new reality has come to man, then they understand that, okay, this is a lot deeper, but they can very seldom get into the books that, you know, we have these books even downloadable on the site. They can't find, it takes a long time to find the books that actually explain what was really going on. You know, you got indigenous tribes speaking about what's going on in space because they were already using their light vehicle. And I don't want to steer the conversation in too many different directions, but there is inside of us the ship. The body is the ship, and when the spirit is the ship, and when the body is more like the outer shell of the egg, it feeds the ship for a while if you're doing the body right, and then when a person finally cracks out like a butterfly, their spirit is strong enough to break the net, because people are still wondering what happens when they die, and we don't know what happens when we die. That's not true. We know exactly what happens when you die. We've cracked into deeper knowledge about even what has to be faced once a person's dead. And so this really erases all fear, though, because the total fear of this reality is within death. People are so afraid to lose their lives that, you know, they numb to understanding anything because they don't want to understand anything that's going to shake the reality and make them afraid. And so that's what's really going on. That's what's happening.
You know, fear, I had to conquer my own issues with fear. You know, fear actually put a lot of limitations on my life at one point in time in my life, and I didn't realize it until after I was able to really get over it. And, you know, people don't really realize how deep down that can really affect a person and really put limitations on the person's life. I try to explain to people that, you know, a lot of people, they say to my site, "Oh, ISIS, your site, it seems to have an anti-Christian, anti-religious tone to it." And I said, "Well, I can just tell you that I don't do that. I can't knock the person who does. I don't do that just because I don't worship anything that instills fear into my heart. You know what I'm saying? I don't resonate with the Creator in that way. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then the process of that, you know, it allowed me also to open my mind and expand certain things. You know, something that a friend of mine once said to me, he says, whenever you worship something, it shouldn't mean something. I mean, it shouldn't matter to whatever it is that you're worshiping that you're choosing to expand your mind. And once you find that you have limitations and restrictions, that's when you have to take a hard look and you have to examine that to find out what that's really about. You know, so I'm just kind of like, you know, and it's a hard subject to talk about with people. You know, there's certain things I feel like I can't even have conversations with because it's just a very hard subject to talk about with people, but I'm in this to try to save some lives. So basically, and I know that you're in this for the same reason. So now that we know, you know, that these reptilians are established and so forth and so on, you know, basically the next step at this point, first I want to say to you, where are we headed, man? We got, like, you know, there's this big thing about the 2012, and we got to talk about that because I got emails galore about that. And people want to know your opinion in terms of what's really going on with 2012. Can you elaborate based on, you know, what you've seen? You know what I'm saying? What do you see for coming to us? What can we expect as far as 2012 is concerned? Do you think it's going to be the end of the actual planet, or is this going to be some type of major awakening taking place amongst the masses where we're able to see different dimensions and things that we weren't able to see before, and everything that we know as of right now won't exist anymore? Your thoughts?
Well, we're always going to be optimists. You know, we're at the level now where we understand that once a few of us activate, then those that activate can actually build a world within their minds that becomes a solid reality that other people can be transferred over and over to on a bridge. That's where we're at in level of thought. Now, to bring it back, you know, to Earth and what's happening with 2012, 2012 is none other than a concoction by the faction that has been pro-Venusian, which is the planet, they call it Earth's sister planet. And there's a planet, that planet Venus, it was actually not a planet at all, it was an asteroid. Some say even that it was a hollow object. And the affiliation between our planet and this planet, I mean, our planet and Venus makes that eight, because when a person goes into the opposite world, a lot of times they're actually in Venus. And so what happens here in this dimension from here is that the Mayans have been recording a light in the sky in a certain segment, and that light in the sky will allow a certain type of transformation to come to the people that were on the surface, meaning that this light was supposed to emit some type of energy that changed the people on the surface to their next evolution stream. And they started to associated with many different things, and they begin to worship it. And this was also what you see as an eclipse, and that's why the eclipse plays such heavy symbolism in things like heroes and series like this, because this eclipse is a sign of a time. And so what's really happening here is that when you see that all seeing eye above the pyramid, it's floating over the top of the pyramid. It's not down on the pyramid yet. And what that means is that the God has not returned to them. And they're waiting on it to completely descend, and then they will have the power they need that's necessary to finish off the plan. Because, see, understand, these type of individuals would have already finished off the plan if they could. There are a lot of unseen workers that are doing different things to allow the dark side not to completely consume the dimension so people can have more time. I believe that that Earth can be taken back, but it's definitely going to take some individuals to come forward with strength. Like on the on They Live, it says we need new people, strong people, people to work with us. This is the truth. This is not a light matter. This is something that involves a high level of spiritual adeptness. And we did give everyone everything on the site as far as the books and what's necessary to be able to go into the higher level of things. But at this point, what's really happening is the manifestation of 2012 is so embedded within the individual's mind from not only their previous religion, which already depicted an apocalypse and an Armageddon, and that's in every single religion, a stage of Kali Yuga, even in some of the Hindu religions, which cover the rest of the world, understanding that China and India still believe in the serpent and the dragon and believe in the prophecies of the serpent and the dragon, and that is majority of the people in the world. America is not the majority. Not to mention South America is deeply involved, and so is the rest of the world. So what you have with America is you have the breeding ground for the only individuals that will possibly say the future in as we know it. And don't get me wrong, there are people in other parts of different countries and things like that have already been doing their role. Like, who knows what some of these organizations are involved in when they do something like take down the Twin Towers, which was putting out a frequency that was really hindering our state of consciousness. And I have pictures of that as the Twin Towers were tuning forks into the gold that was underneath it. But so what does it mean when someone actually makes a move and knocks it down? Because it was that point where people started becoming conscious that their government wasn't who they thought they were, except for a small ragtag group of resistant people that had always been talking about it, that were involved in different movements back in Detroit and back in places like this. And so... Mm-hmm. Really where we're at now, this is now the hybridized version of what's going to happen in the future, which is their 2012 plan. Now, 2012 is a Zionist code, and you know, maybe right. It can make sense. It's better if a person has a pen, but if this came across a machine like Enigma 2012, we would know the 1 and the 0 is binary. That's also I and a O. The 2 in right. The English language is also synonymous with the Z. They also written the same. And then the N is only needs to be turned 90 degrees counterclockwise, and then it turns into an N. And then you got Zion. And then not to mention that, as it shows in the book, the whole 2012 Olympics is put on, they're doing it on ley lines. Even the streets are named Layton to explain that. They're tapped into something that's been manipulating the planet for a prolonged period of time. And then there always sets a window where certain people realize what's going on, and they're able to take that window. Like I say, in every scary movie, someone always gets away. That's what they still keep embedding in the media. There's always this loophole that if you know it, then you can escape the reality of whatever you're in. And that was brought to me a long time ago. It said no matter what you face, there's always a way out. Sometimes it's like a maze and you got to figure the way out, but know there's a way out. And there's a lot of encouragement in that. And that's why I say I'm an optimist. And I know that there's a different plan for me in the future. And so what we do is we try to pass that plan on to others and allow them to go into the next continuum and not have to deal with these bozos who are only interested in feeding upon the life force of everything on the planet as if they're, because they're a vampiric species. This is their chthonic beings, meaning that they are takers of life, not givers of life. And that's how you know the difference between a wolf and a tree, or a tree that bears fruit. You see, so this is the in nature, if one watches closely, and that's what the indigenous man always knew, you see the characteristic of all the spirits that move here if you know what you're looking at. And then you start to see it so close where you see the apparition itself. And then once you can get in touch with that frequency, you can make communication. This now can be shown in science.
Right. You know, it's I mean, there's something that you said that really stuck out there to me, and I wanted you to touch on this when you said about creating your own reality through your mind. Let's focus in on that. Can you explain to people exactly what you mean when you say that?
Sure. We do it every single day. Every time we go to sleep, we actually build a world that we go into. What happens is that this world is still inside of their net because we've created the world inside of the net. So if you create the world outside the net doesn't exist, meaning there's no cutoff period for your dream. Time was created by this net. Time is created in situations where thought is people are not being responsible for their thought. Like they start to think, thinking just like when you see in a meditation, the moment you start thinking, all your higher intellect at that point that you gain in the meditation leaves at that point. This is like tapping into the brain versus tapping into the spirit. But what it really is this. If we look at this one simple thing, inside of the body, if everything is pure energy and you have an opportunity to boost the energy, you can investigate what boosts the energy for the body. And
okay.
when you boost the energy of your body, then your projection is a lot stronger. It's like the difference between a high-definition 1080p LCD screen and an old capillary ray tube when your energy is built up. And then when you build up a reality, again, like I said, the body, the mind is very creative at doing this. It's your image nation or your imagination. This is a nation you can build within your mind. But what happens here in this matrix is they want to give you the construct of what you're to see. So and what I mean by that is people dream about having a nice house, having a nice car, but when they were younger, they didn't realize they were actually dreaming about being on other planets and things like that. That's what was taking place at, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. They were going throughout as a being, because the being is being sort of reeled into all this. The program is not loaded yet, as I say when you see a baby. The program's not loaded yet. So they have to load the program, and then what you get from what you loaded is what you see in society today. But before then, if you look at those children's dreams, which a lot have been recorded, they dream strictly of other planets and no unlimited concept of what's really going on, and that's what we really have to turn back into, which is inside. Now, people were doing this also collectively. I do believe that the most documented case was in Lake Machu Picchu, which was the group there, you know, joined in hands, went internal and blinked the frequency, which a lot of beings do when it gets to the level of what's going on Earth right now. The reality begins to set in. The amnesiac God, as they say, wakes up, and that's for those individuals who know they're on a higher intellect and, you know, just waking up from it. And then they realize, okay, I better catch up out of here before this goes to the next level, because it's just not going to be comfortable for me. But there's going to be a lot of people who are comfortable with this. Egyptians were fascinated with matter. They only wanted to get involved with what they could see. They knew there was higher gods and higher domains, but it wouldn't, you know, there was not much communication from that. So they went in immediately manifesting things on a material level, and they've done that and been successful at doing that. And so we're living in a byproduct of that, but each soul, again, is from space. You know, it's not, we're seeded here. Like, it's just a seed that's growing here, but when one tries to be held up, and that's what we're really dealing with right now in the matrix, that when people get to the level of ascension, as is documented within the book, when the soul comes out of the body, then there's beings that are vying for the soul according to what the person has agreed to. And this is one of the only laws that stand in the universe, which is that a person has to give their soul from a consensual basis. And
right.
And that can be done over multiple lifetimes. So, you know, it's really time for people to wake up to. Here's what I say about religion, because I'm not anti anything. It's a step
right.
on the pyramid. And if you can keep walking up it, like, you'll eventually get to monotheism, and then you'll get into totality after that. But if for some reason you stop on one of those steps, never realizing the water rises every 26,000 years, you'll drown. Because the water rises every 26,000 years, something comes through here and takes everything offline. They say that it's every 3,600 years, but the record in the books of this taking place on the archaeological digs is every 26,000 years, a harvest.
Yeah, I was going to say, where did 3,600 years come from? Where did that come from?
These are supposed to be time segments of a circle, which was supposed to be the original procession of the Earth. However, the Earth is now on a wobble, which has a lot to do also with the side of consciousness that a person gravitates towards. Like, people are primarily right-handed because of the wobble that exists within Earth that throws everything off balance. There's been a lot of documentation now in the inner circles about how the wobble is actually caused by the pyramids and not prevented by the pyramids, which was the common knowledge that our wobble was attempting to correct the wobble with the pyramids, these higher beings, and to stabilize Earth. But apparently the record was officially that the Earth was already stabilized. And when the being got here, it was very still. It had no confusion going on. And then all of a sudden, light. And that light is Lucifer.
Wow.
And so this is what's really the story that they love to hide and put deeper meaning to. And we just came off the age of secrets. That's the biggest thing. Like, when people look at the word name, N-A-M-E, we'll just say names. Then you learn about Zoroastrian names, which is M-A-N-E-S. And then you learn about amens. And the word amen means hidden. So when you say a person's name, that means the person's hidden. They don't know who they are. So that way they see everything distorted. And even in that wells up within the person when they first start hearing the information, the distortion of the mind comes into play. Like, a lot of times, because we do deal with the solution, like, we have frequencies that can shed negative environments negative auras that are on people almost immediately. And then I always tell people, sometimes you need to do that before you listen to some knowledge. Because if you're not, if you've still got that same negative stench, then it's going to be whispering in the ear, telling you, this is not it, this doesn't really know the truth. And it's done that so many times, we have found it up until this point. And I always like to speak in the terms of, like, when I say we and I say I don't use the word I a lot, because you can't pull energy from yourself. And so this is really what we're really dealing with here.
We got a caller on the line. Caller number, let's see, 518. You're on the air. Do you have a question?
Whoa. Hey. I was just listening. I was just really, really dope.
Okay. You
feel me? Just listening. But I do have one. I do have one, actually. A couple of minutes ago, sir, you said you have to. Your soul, when your soul is released, it's given to what you agreed upon. I didn't catch that.
Okay, yeah. What happens is that people don't even understand that the moment that you put your right hand over your heart and you pledge allegiance to 51 pentagrams, that's actually a ritualistic rite. So people have been conned, as Apple's logo is now Icon, people have been conned into actually releasing themselves, releasing the ownership of their actual soul.
Now,
it's happened over multiple lifetimes.
That could be, now that, and when you keep saying that multiple lifetimes, that's interesting. But for those that were conned, whether they're civil servants, whether they work in different sectors of you know, I don't know, this society, when you gain some awareness, is there a way to, you know, pardon my simple language, to reverse that negative polarity? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you disavow, and then if you have an intuition of where that came from, you push against it to balance out the karma. And what I mean by that is, like, I have hit the level of profit within Christianity and taken Shekinah and everything into my body, and then once I really figured out what's going on, now I'm anti it. And the
now,
same
sir,
thing went on with – go ahead.
I'm basic. So the word you use, you taking in Shekinah into your body. Could you explain that to me, please?
Yeah, the process of there's some certain individuals, like when you look at spirituality, like I've always delved in spirituality to get to the height of it. And because when I was passing through Christianity, the height of Christianity is a prophet, not a pastor, I sought to be that. And then, so it didn't take long for me to figure out what was the difference between a pastor and a prophet, and it was mainly the prophet's degree of Shekinah, or a spirit that had already been contacted that allowed a person to have extra powers. And there was actually formulas for how to get this being to be evoked. And then in that process, and of course I had my back against the wall in some other situations, so this is what gave me the energy to be able to embark on this whole thing, because most people still, again, won't go that far. Go ahead.
You stated that you had your back against the wall in certain situations.
Yeah.
So in my basic term, as I'm talking to my daughter, I'm going to say, hey, your experience on this planet is going to lead you to think and make moves according to what you've been through. Now, when you say you had your back against the wall, which I would assume that was a negative experience, and you came out of it, did that increase your faith in positivity? Because I'm basic, so all the words you're using, I don't understand. I'm just trying to grasp it and get it back.
I got you, brother. Well, let me just put it like this. What I had really understood at a certain point was everything was based on your intention. If you had the right, if you had the right intention, you were going to be led to the truth. It didn't mean you were in the truth, though, but you would be eventually led to it.
It's the pull. It's the pull, right?
Yeah. It's what you're gonna. Well, see, the other thing is that timing, because this world is still based on time. Time is everything. So what I noticed for a lot of people is, 4 or 5 years ago, it seemed to be they went through some big spiritual height, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. Like they were being tested for a moment, and then all of a sudden they just had no choice but to go back into the world and do that thing for a moment. And so what I'm saying in total is that one becomes aware exactly when they need to be aware and not before them, because it will only mess up the awareness itself.
Understood.
If that makes sense. I don't like to do the double talk, but what's really happening here is the simplest will be able to gain it faster than the most complex, but we have something for both of them. And that's why there's a few basic rules. Like when I really got into the court of those individuals that were really, really didn't want the worship of man and had no bad intention for man, the main thing that came across was that, look, everything equals motion, so you have to get engaged. Like everything is moving, but how fast are you moving? If you engage, then it'll be led to you. But if you stand still, you'll just be moving very slow. And one, don't worship anything that's been created. Because that's in the beginning of this, it's like you're a child. So they understand the different simple mistakes that one makes as a child. Even stuff that we may blow out of proportion, it's still simple. It's been seen before. But the thing is that when it comes time to make that change into who you really are, then it's like, okay, where are you at? Because if there's never any point, like if a person is still waiting on to hear more and see more before they get proactive, that means that they're moving in the opposite direction. It's like we call it the difference between it's reactionary. It's like you're waiting on something to happen so you can go and do what's next, versus going and do what's next first, so you'll be prepared for what's going to happen. And so hopefully, brother, that answered enough of the questions that you had. And then there's the site. We're going to definitely get the site plugged here. And there's a site, and there's a plethora of information, frequencies to download, all sorts of stuff, and all that's available for free, man. That's what our contribution is to this world, to see it, to take it to another level, because we're going up. We want to ascend. We understand there's other individuals that they want to descend, but that's just the direction that we're going. We believe that 100% because we've touched it. And that's the thing about the difference between people who know and don't. And you can always tell in their conversation, once you've seen the other world and been involved with other things and seen the other beings on a comfortable level, on a vivid level, then the whole conversation is different. But it's most sure that those people don't remain on Earth for a prolonged period.
All right. Well, we're now currently at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break real quick, and then we're going to come back. And if you guys have more questions, we'll allow you to talk to Seven in the last 30 minutes of the show. Make sure when you guys get a chance, you log on to IsisWisdom.com. That is where the show is currently being heard at. If you want to get the archive show, you can either download it here or you can get the Hip Hop Revised version. You'll see it on IsisWisdom.com. Make sure you go in, log on, sign up, you know what I'm saying, create a profile, you know, get your blog on. Also, you can log on to Seven's site, which is thewords.ning.com, which is currently where his book is located at, The Code to the Matrix. It's very adept. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you guys guys, check it out. I'm letting you know right now, you're going to be sitting there for hours, you know what I'm saying, reading the book. I love the book. It's a great book. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm still getting through the last little parts of the book and whatnot. Also, Seven, what is your YouTube channel? Well, all your videos are actually being hosted on the words.ning.com, right?
Yeah, and then the YouTube is Innerstanding. That's InnerStanding. So Innerstanding, that's the YouTube.
Okay. Also, make sure you guys check me out. Log on to twitter.com/IsisWisdom to keep up to date on all the latest shows that's taking place on the Isis Wisdom Show. Also, I have a hip-hop blog, www.wordonthestreetsmag.com. If you love hip-hop, which I know a lot of you do, I have a lot of hip-hoppers that are currently listening right now. You guys know what it is. Make sure you go and leave some comments. And also, make sure you log on to IsisWisdom.com and let us know what you think about this interview that we did with Seven. Now, we're back with Seven, and we are into part two of our interview on the second hour. And I must say, you know, you really dropped a lot of science for a lot of folks here tonight. And now, huh?
We're going through a lot in this short period, you know, but, you know, we're getting to it.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you. There was this part in your book where you were talking about, because I just thought this was so interesting. I was bugging out. Like, my mouth was literally falling to the floor. There's one part where you were talking about these female reptilians, man. What were they called again?
Oh, the SST reptilian queens.
You was messing my whole reference. Man, you was messing my whole program up with that one right there. Cause I was like, serious? You know, just looking at some of the stuff and reading it, you know, there were certain things that you were saying that you know, at first I was like, man, that just sounds kind of far out there. But then the more I started reading, the more I started really thinking about it, I said, well, really, man, that sound too far out there. Can you give us a little bit of excerpt just from this section of your book about what these beings are, those beings from your book?
Okay, well, what they're basically saying is that this harvesting that goes on here on Earth, which is always discussed again in the religious texts, and that's why religion becomes dangerous, because when harvest periods come around, it's really difficult to escape it if you're already bequeathed to the being, as it's called. And so in this tense, it's basically like this. If the person has a – I kind of got lost on the question for a moment. Repeat the question one more time for me.
The SST, okay, the reptilian queen.
Yeah, my mind sometimes it just flies off. But, yeah, see, what's going on here is that – as they say, this harvest thing must continue. And there's the beings that are over making this happen, that want to make sure that this happens, is this SST reptilian queen, which is totally different than the SSS reptilian king. These beings are supposed to be known to be in the domes of Venus, that there was dome-shaped structures recorded on Venus by several of our satellite and space probe equipment. And that these beings actually were living inside these domes as something of a hive mind or a mother brain, controlling things from their mental, from more of a mental point. And so what ended up happening was they were explaining that through time and through Earth, the wars that you see go on have nothing to do with these reptilian beings that make sure that this stuff, that they're the people they delegated this to. Which has been in one instance, Ra, Marduk, and Al, and Ann, the people that have been delegated to make sure this happens and this comes through have been always at a war internally with each other. And that's why you get always the war of the two brothers. You got Enlil and Ea. You have Cain and Abel. You have Ishmael and Israel. You have Romulus and Remus. You can go on. I can go on. You got Osiris and Set. You have all these archetypes throughout history. That Kronos and Zeus, you have all these archetypes that are shown as two brothers that are from the same kin that keep warring with each other. And this is none other than the Sumerians, or this is really Chaldean magic. This is really a world that was set up, again, before the world that we're looking at right now in 3D. And that's maybe what needs to get out here is the human being is the body, at least, is a fifth-dimensional construct. That's the mathematics proven by Leonardo da Vinci. So if we're on 3D, but we're supposed to be 5D beings, this obviously is a sign that many people have descended at least two lifetimes. And this is when I started recording, you know, if we were back again, because obviously I know I had to be here a few times to have the data like this. And I said, okay, well, how many times can one really just map out alone that they've been looped again, as we call it? And I would say at least for everyone two times. And so what this is about is this is, I believe, again, the closest, and that's what they will allow us to believe, but I'll go with it for now. This is the closest that we'll get to really understand what's going on before one could just do the rest of the work and just make the jump, basically leave the dimension. Because before, it seems like they were cutting off our hands and gouging out our eyes if we were even reading. So this meant that the normal game was that, no, don't let them learn anything. And then let them work, let them mind, let them grow, and that's what you mainly see in the old days. And then all of a sudden, someone obviously came up with a better idea. We can use this person as a scientist way more better than we can use him as a cow herder, but it's going to take a minute for us to turn him into a scientist. And then we can see how far we can get if we can do that with this being. And so that's something that's now really, I believe, come back to bite them a little bit, because it's raising individuals like myself and Lynn and Honor and individuals like yourself who, when they have certain types of information, because they're naturally thinkers anyway, or naturally have the chessboard going on in the brain, as they say, a diamond is forever, then they figure it out that, okay, something else is going on here. And then sure enough, what we're doing is we're here to support the rest of the data of what goes on here that's irrefutable. If a person starts to argue with the information that's being presented, especially within the book, they're only arguing with themselves, because they could go to any type of information source and find the same thing, because we're dealing more with Abjad, which is the ancient language of the Arabs, and we're dealing more with Kabbalah and different versions of Kabbalah. So we're looking at things from its program level, not from its from the level of its effect, which is illusion.
Right. Now I was looking here at this one part, and I was tripping about how you was breaking down AM, and then America. And then you broke down the great king of the sea, you know what I'm saying? Or Sumerian name EA pronounced Aya, Lord and King of the Sea. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started like really like seeing how or the Am in Amman, where the Am in America comes from. Like, you started really breaking this stuff down, man. Like, I just, you know, the way you broke it down, man, it's just wow. It's like it blew me away. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just, you know, for anybody that's listening to the show, you have to read this book, because it's really going to give you some insight into a lot of things that are going on, you know what I'm saying, with this planet, with us right now. And so you yourself, you do a lot of meditation, correct?
Yeah, I do. I do spend some time and some decent time in meditation, not as much as I used to now, because the breathing is what's most important. Meditation could be going on all day if a person understands how to breathe right. Because even when no pun intended against our Caucasian fellow, but when the Caucasians walked into Polynesia, the first thing that the Polynesians named him was he who breathes shallow. That's what the word meant. He who breathes shallow, whatever the word they used, because they were utterly amazed that the Western man didn't understand the power in breath and taking air within the nose and pushing it into the stomach. And developing the internal wall, which was in a man's stomach. Man actually carries a womb also, and it's, you know, a chi force that is circulating down there. And people never look at the whip of the sperm itself generates energy, and they actually get older. And this is all the knowledge of what is passing away now, because everyone is being assimilated into something of a clone in a robot. Their ultimate idea is, they said they have, you know, and this is kind of high-level stuff, man, so I wouldn't tell people, then don't start becoming warriors about this, because there's nothing to worry about. At least there's people working on this right now on how to thwart it. But Zeta Reticulian shell, meaning that another body being prepared to insert the spirit into, because that's what the Egyptians were doing. They were inserting bodies back, inserting spirits inside of matter that they had made, which is the fleshly body. That's why the fleshly body is a composition of multiple animals that were already here on this dimension. And because you see the R complex, the reptilian portion of the brain, mammalian portion of the brain, bird brain. That was cracking me up. But anyway, there's different parts of this going on within the body. And so the total assimilation is supposed to be, and the plan is that they want to put human souls inside of dead reticulian bodies because they don't develop emotion, which has become the byproduct. And I was watching Battlestar Galactica, the last one, the movie. I just happened to have it available to me. And it was so confusing. There was no storyline to it. And then when I was done, I said, wait a minute, because if I can't really pull too much out of the movie or understand it, it must be really, really, really something else going on. And I said, you know what? There's obviously a message just in here that someone meant to get out, didn't even know how to explain it. As I thought about it, when they started calling people numbers in the movie, like there was different clones. There was one, there was two, there was three, there was four. And then just like as you look at the movie Nine, there was nine of them made, and each of them had different powers. And
right,
and
that, in Star Trek, it was like that.
Exactly.
Star Trek.
Then I started seeing that, okay, well, you know, in their experiments, you know, they keep kicking out different models for what? Like what is the purpose of creating these different genetic structures? And this is, you know, what I kind of feast upon in my mind. And I realized that when one understands how to break the matrix, as we say, then that genetic, that DNA, that RNA, that actual composition is taken and duplicated and probably sent to cure other issues within the galaxy, because you have the actual code within the individual of how to break cycles like this, which are not pro-life. And what I'm really feeling the most is this. We do a lot of, when one escapes duality, they do understand that there's no good and bad, but I definitely understand where I want to be and where I don't want to be. Because there's a lot of this spiritual stuff that gets a little bit too big for its britches also, because we're still speaking in limited language. And when one says, oh, you know, good and evil are the same thing and it's the same type of energy and stuff like that, that those thoughts and how to really calculate on that is just way too deep. The fact of the matter is, what do we want to be? And it's not really what we're enjoying right now. We have to go outside. We have to deal with their dollar bills, you know, the magnetic strip and the dollar bill and the talisman and the symbols that are in it. Once put in the hand, you know, it affects the aura of the body. The body becomes more of a slave to this dirty magnet. And so this is what's going on. And then eventually, just with anything, even if you take the low species of the earth and you start to try to decimate them, eventually those start coming that can't be. They can't be assimilated by the system. They actually figure out the way out of it. They become the cure, not the disease. And that's what I really am looking for within in the hip-hop and the rap community alone, because like, I've been listening to these cats, man. I was like, man, how do you rap and not know the code? But then I listen to an individual like Jay-Z who knows the code, and I hear he's saying something totally different. And that Empire of the Sun is very dangerous. And so if people don't really understand what's really happening here, you know, and wake up, then they have already faced, and that's what we show in server worship, is that this started back with James Earl Jones. This started back with individuals that you least expected, but they showed you what they were really up to. And when black people, and when you look inside of the cabal, and here's the other thing, and you know, it's done here, so it'll be done. When you look inside of the cabal, the real deep cabals, and the cabal means hidden, and the cabal also means oral resuscitation, meaning that it only can be told to you from ear to ear. This information is not written down. So in the deepest cabal, what you do find is you find a more of a darker melanin dominant being that is doing a lot of this, like as far as the control system. And then when you see the Anglo man, who is really the one who's the fall guy, as we always call him, he's the one that is taking the heat. Like Illuminati took the heat for Ordinati, Intrepidi, and all the other organizations that exist out there that have remained hidden for thus far that nobody even knows the name of. But they're like YMCA compared to these guys.
Hold on for a second. Now I want you to let's rewind back what you just said here for a minute. So you're saying, and I had suspected that, because one of the things I had said, I had posed on the site, I think me you talked about that. You know, you know the question I asked. You know what I'm saying? But are you implying that basically this all started with us and it's all basically gonna end with us in a sense?
Well, I can't say it's going to end with us because there's no ending.
Well, that's real talk, but I mean, just saying, when you said the darker melanated being, I mean, yes, I'm just saying, like that. Those are some harsh truths that, you know what I'm saying, that's hard for people to swallow. That's some hard stuff you just said right there.
Because this is how it works. Just as it came to me, it said, well, Seven, you know what you hate the most is actually what you really are. That's how most psychological cases start. And really, because when you look at individuals, if you put up on a psychological level, you'll see you have a case on your hands. It's going to take multiple things in order to be able to pull that person into a higher level of understanding, but we're up for the job. It's alchemy, dirt in the gold. And so, but what happens is that the person, I'm saying 100% that there is a manipulation that's going on here that is coming from a level of the individual in itself, meaning that when people say, okay, well, why do we have so much bad karma? Why is there so much bad karma on our people? Well, the first person to ever sell a slave was a black person. But that wasn't all that was going on, because it was really no such thing as a black person at that point. Everyone was of darker skin tone. It was really about hair. And that's at least what York, you know, pointed out before. He pointed us into all sorts of things, but we won't get into that now. But again, the ether and the hair shows where the individual is really dominant. So you had these Nagas or the Nagus who were in Ethiopia cohabiting with the individuals that were there, bringing forth the offspring that later went into Persia.
And the Nagas were reptilian.
Well, exactly. It was a reptilian type being. See, the thing is with this and what I learned, because it was very difficult to keep fathoming all this, me trying to be aware of all these beings and then not being able to put them into categories. This being was like a seven-headed dragon that stayed encrusted with jewels and was of some other type of species. It's not a snake, basically. But if you go into indigenous tribes, you'll find some indigenous tribes, like even here in Guayabo, they worship the iguana, and its symbol is the guava. And then you can see how all those words actually are the same when you move them around and things like that. So basically what you do have is even at this point, man, we're cracking the code. Like we just looked at the word vision. This is the sixth Zion, V-I meaning the Roman numeral six, S-I-O-N. Sixth Zion. And then sure enough, the architect in the Matrix says this is the sixth Zion and we've been very successful at destroying it, blah, blah, blah. So how is it that these individuals can predict the words that are being used today and then use them back in the movies again? And then, you know, who's really the architect here? And then we find, like I revealed in the book, this motif of this bearded Caucasian individual, also known as Kukulkan, who has obviously been fooling around with time travel in order to convince everyone that he's the god. Because when they really want to talk about the top of the mountain, I only want to bring this forth because this will be the peak of the conversation. With a product of what's going on right now, the reason why not too many people can explain it because they haven't added the integer of time travel. Like if a person goes back into the past and alters a few things, how does that affect the future? What will really be the duty? And the duty is to change history as it actually is. And so the person's not tapped into the Akashic record that holds all the information communicated with by the third eye and the pineal gland, but the data they're getting is actually tainted. And it would have to be anyway when it comes to this language. So from that level, what we understand is that even if there was, it's kind of like a big game, and I know we don't have much time left here, but if you think about it, the Mayans are now being used as the reference point for every individual of what's going to take place because they're saying this is the indigenous tribe, one of the oldest indigenous tribes that ever kept records. But then when you look at their records, they're saying the Anglo man who's taught them the religion of the dragon and the serpent actually came to them and that he came in a craft, some type of flying craft, and they called him the feather serpent. That meant because he could fly. And then now the biggest game is fast forward into the future. Everyone goes back into the past to look for where the indigenous knowledge really is and what's really going to happen. And they stumble upon this tribe of nothing but serpent worshiping, 50,000 a year sacrificing people. And their ideas to sacrifice the whole world is definitely in play because they're deluded. And that's what happens in delusion and playing around and eating animals and different things like this. And, you know, we don't want to get into too much of this because a lot of people have a lot of cleaning up to do. But, again, the blood is a life force within itself. So when one puts the blood into their body without the consent of the being itself, then there has been a wrong to the being. And so people can't reject on why they're being wrong until they stop for a moment and see if they're wrong in something else.
Right. We got some callers on here, and I'm going to go ahead and let a few people ask you some questions. Seven, we're down to the 34 minute mark. 518, are you there? Hello.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bobby. Could you put that website back out? Because this is great. Just put that website back out so I can go and study it and continue.
Make sure that you log on to the website, thewords.ning.com. That's where you'll be able to find the book, The Code to the Matrix. We have another caller on the line. Caller with the area code 484. Do you have a question? Hello? 484-550. You're on the air.
Oh, no, I don't have a
question. Okay. Okay, people are on the air and they're not asking questions. Caller 404-228, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, we have a few callers on. Everybody's just logged in to listen. I guess they can't hear through the regular, I don't know, they can't hear. But I had a couple people in the chat room that were throwing some things out there. And one of the things I wanted to touch on was the movie, The Fourth Kind. I think me and you had that conversation. I actually called you and told you the experience that I had with the movie and then turned around and sent you the review that my 17-year-old had did on the movie. You know what I'm saying? And did you get a chance to read the review?
Yeah, I did. I did get a chance to read it. Like I said, she's well-versed.
Right. Now, and hearing it from the mind of a child, you know what I'm saying, that you know, that's definitely all about her creativity and whatnot, but hearing, reading that and her own words, you know, and me telling you exactly, you know, what was going on in that movie, you know, what are they doing, man? Like my daughter asked the same question. She was like, Mom, something ain't right about that. She said, they're doing things with the movie. And you had sent a thing on your site where you were talking about this particular spirit called Kronzon. So let's tie in this movie, The Fourth Kind, and let's tie it into what you had wrote about concerning this particular spirit that's on the move right now. So people are aware.
Well,
I got to make people aware.
Okay, yeah, definitely. That's one of the first things first, because basically when I had first started seeing little clips of the movie, I knew immediately not to watch it because of the interfacing with the owl. And, of course, many understand the symbolism between the owl in American on the American dollar bill and then the Moloch that they're worshiping out in Bohemian Grove. And the owl has its own story, and how men could know how to interface with this type of being is really on another level that doesn't need to be discussed here. But basically, when you have this, the signal that the owl sends out is for a person, especially if they have their third eye open, they can really contact this being and portal through this being on multiple levels. And so the owl that they were showing in the movie is what we call a trained owl. And in the movie, what's basically going on is first of all, they take a layer of a person's mind down by saying this is based on a true story. Now, none of their stories are true. You understand how they have to manipulate things, and they're not really true. But when they say that, that takes a person to another level, like, okay, what I'm watching actually happened. They make that judgment before they watch. And then once that opens up and then these frequencies, which are not detectable by the ear, begin to come out, the story is being communicated to them about the Anunnaki God and its return, which looks more like a predator. And this being is explaining that it's the author of the Bible and is heavily involved in the Bible, and it's actually right. Basically, the truth is coming out. And it puts so much, because it opens up what they call an organic portal within the individual, because it drops several layers of what a person has to protect them. And that's why we're warning people to stay away from the movie altogether. We're not doing any type of information or synchromystic or anything on the movie at all. We're just staying away from it totally. Because the effects have been the same effect of the being that's known as 333. See, we look at the names, like even Jesus is 888. That's what his number, his name is numerical equivalent to the number. He's not Emmanuel. And so from this point, when one looks at 333, which was the being of deterioration, you get the number 9. Now, 9 is none other than a backward 6. The 6 is, and this is, again, trying to go over a lot of stuff that is deeper knowledge, but really fast. The 6 turns in one direction, and then it closes itself in the direction of a 9, meaning that it tries to make itself basically a whole cycle of beginning and ending. And the only city that in our world that's ever been named anything close to 9 was Nineveh, which was in Samaria or in Babylon. And so these beings are supposed to be the Omega or the Enders. Actually, Omega is a different term. That's 10, but they are the Enders of the cycle. And the way they communicate is in a very negative and very grotesque way. They're on another polarity. And so what they generally have for the society is, like you see with the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, they made 1.something billion in 1 week off of the game. More people logged on that day than any other time in the world's history, et cetera, just to do Modern Warfare. And so when that goes across the grid, which is everything is connected on a wireless type level, and the frequencies that come out from a laptop are there. It's not internal. So this creates all of this. And so it's really one of those things where human beings are being used to harvest the next reality. So the moment, and there's a key point that's generated take place here in 2010, which is the real 2012. 2010 is the year that the Mayans had recorded that the light would take place. Once this takes place, I can't even really say what the world will be like then. I've read it in their deeper books, and it doesn't even need to be brought across the air. People can ask me about it on the site. But again, everyone has an opportunity at this point, because there's a great going and coming. When a portal opens up, people can leave and people can come. When a dimension gets depressed, though, because that's why they call depression, basically the word means depress, press you down into another scion. And so that's how beings from a lower dimension, which is known that these beings are on the lower dimension, black and white, two-dimensional, that once one gets into that area in that field and state of mind, then they are now susceptible to being assimilated, as the word is today. They're susceptible to being, the old word was possessed, harvested, feast upon. And that's, you know, really something that's a byproduct of a world and not something that anyone needs to continue to point fingers at. We know who's really responsible and the orchestrators of it. But it's a little bit too late to be pointing fingers now. Now a person has to just focus on what they're going to do about it. And there's a lot of energy within the children, in assisting the children in knowing about this, how the transition needs to be made, because they're the only ones that are going to be able to stop what's coming, and that's what they're here for. There's individuals that are calibrated to deal with the situation that's going on here on Earth, but if the parent, which is the unforeseen problem, continue to put them into this media world and allow the star seeds basically to be contaminated, then there's no hope for the continuation of Gaia. Now, the continuation of certain individuals, that's on a whole nother level. But as far as this planet Tiamat, which goes, you know, this planet goes by several different names, but as far as this planet and the hope for this planet, it won't be able to withstand the being that's coming. And that's what it's really communicating. The planet, the planet is an elemental. An elemental is often ruled over by a simple mages. A magician knows how to rule over things that are only masters of one domain. But as far as the spirit of the planet itself, the being that's attempting to assimilate her, there is not too many right now that are standing up to fight them. And they're known as the ancient ones. And there was a long time ago, they said, a group of individuals that they just called the sun. 144 to 144 paired in positive and negative that attempted to overthrow this being, and they said that they were successful at doing trapping this being in a dimension for a time. And but now it's time for everyone else to step up, because that's also a product of understanding dimensions. When you understand that the strong were created to uphold the strong were created to uphold the weak, because both are self-existing. They need each other, because it's not a term of strong and weak. One is life, basically life supports life. And so that's
right.
Really what we're turning back on to, is getting our soldiers back online, but not by that term, because the soldier means a soul dyer, meaning a dying son. So our sons die for them. But those individuals that are strong in the mind and ready to lock on to the simple stuff, because there's simple things and like the solution, like alkalizing the body with Arm & Hammer baking soda, staying away from the fluoride, treating the water with MMS. There's different things that we have application to, fire frequency at water and laying in the tub when the frequency is fired at the water. So we're adepts here. We're not just explaining a person the problem. We're giving them the solution. And then so that way they can't say they didn't have a choice. But I will tell people this. If you have a lot of weight, you'll be waiting. If there's a lot of things that are dragging you down, from individuals that you're attached to, things that you're attached to, gods that you're attached to, all that is one, all that is more weight. And that's why the Egyptians always knew one thing simple. They will weigh your heart against a feather, meaning that the only way that you get ready to leave here is that when you're ready to leave. So if you imagine where you're going is anything like Earth, you're not ready to go yet. Because what we're going to next is nothing like this. It can't be.
Right. Wow. I mean, I'm just saying,
to clear that statement up, they say there's a place that's referenced that is not under the influence of stars and moons and meteorites, meaning when you look in the sky, there's nothing there except for what you create. And that's really where, you know, where ascension is about. That's where we're headed. And, you know, as for what's going on Earth 3D.
Isn't that exactly what space really is, though? You know what I'm saying? Like the quarantine that's put around this planet, that's not often talked about, but the quarantine that's put around this planet, which won't allow third dimensional beings to leave Earth physically to go out into space. Is that because there's no concept? Huh?
Well, that's through explosion. That's through explosion. One can't leave the dimension through explosion. They have to implode, meaning go back in and disappear, and then you blink out through a wormhole. It's like a wormhole created within between your solar plexus and your navel. A wormhole develops there, and basically you suck into yourself and appear into another reality. But the strength of the mind has to be remembered. Meaning, remember, putting back on the members that are missing. The person has to know what they're really made of, what their history is, because that's how everything really grows. It looks at what it was before, and then it knows what to become next. So when they alter the past, then a person imagines that, you know, like Christopher Columbus, and they imagine all sorts of things, but that's not really the truth. And now reestablishing and reinstating that truth, so an individual can recorrect their DNA and RNA and get the channels flowing back. And that's something that happens within the mind. DNA and RNA is affected by the mind. People talk a lot about DNA, but RNA is the other channel, the other freeway that has to run back the other way, so the information reaches the continuum, so the person exists outside of time at that point.
Right.
But this is for the scientists now. Like when the scientists actually step up, because we anticipate taking our work to another level. But again, we're the resistance, so it's always a ragtag, underfunded group. But we, you know, what's happening is that once we get in front of the people who know, we already understand rolling coils. We understand how to open portals with certain types of energy. We understand Tesla technology. So this is when we finally get the person that we need to take this to another level. Our level of going at this is not from the common state of just telling a person information to enlighten them. What we're intending to do is to turn their light body vehicle on, and then we see what they're about at that point. And that portal has to be open because, like I said before, in the future, which is not too far because the future is only so long, and then it becomes present. When the beings that come and the individuals that need to deal with them need to be ready. And that's really what is going on. But a lot of people will ascend before then. Don't get me wrong. Some people will be up out of here. They're not calibrated for that. It's like taking a person who's a master healer and then putting them in a Freddy Krueger movie. You just don't do it. They're here for something else. But there are individuals, especially those who have just been taking this long to figure it out, but still have that that internal sun burning inside of them to make their skin black, or you know whatever color it's supposed to be. They will start feeling that the fire is back within their blood, and that they're able to really have something to do something about all this with, because you feel the energy back in your body. And that was the main separation. Now I'll say this: the main separation between religion and totality is that when you get power in religion, it's from something else. Something else has come inside of your body and given you that power. But when you're in totality, you are that power. You turned on all of your faculties that are necessary for you to have the power that you desire. Because the first thing that was said to me was, why do you want the power? And I had already been in pursuit of the power for at least 8 months, never thinking about what I wanted it for. And it said, that's the first problem. Like, if you don't have a goal and objective, there's nothing for you to receive you, and you didn't complete your equation. And that's why I say we have to now get with the people who are pushing positive, the term, real term is dharma, but they're pushing the positive, the energy out there and doing something. And then what you really see from them is a facilitation of everything that you're putting out, and not before them.
Right. Wow. Let me ask you a question. What about those who feel as though that physically that they may be taken up in the ships by UFOs and things of that nature? That's one question I want to ask you. The second question I want to ask you is, me and you both have talked, you know, extensively about this particular planet that's on its way here, or quote unquote starship, Nibiru, Tignanu, so forth and so on. Me and you have talked about these different beings that are basically on their way back, and basically the way, basically you can visually see now with the way that they're setting things up in Dubai, the way that they're setting things up with, you know, with the 9/11 situation. You can pretty much see that they're definitely preparing to open up some type of a gateway that's going to bring these particular beings back that they had been worshiping for a period of time. What do you say to the people who are trying to, who physically, you know what I'm saying, feel as though that they may be able to get picked up by, you know, other beings that will assist them?
Because of the thought stream that was here originally before the planet got split, or the Holy Sea, as they call it, the Sea of Souls, living all through the experience through each other, there's no telling really who is here and where they will be going. We just know that this is the time for coming and going. Now, what they have coming is there's always been between these two brothers this battle for the harvest. They call it Armageddon. It's like basically who gets what. And so what this really involves is that they're planet-sized ships, which you see a lot with the George Lucas, Death Star, Phobos. Ra was actually a ship. Marduk, who's also Ra, was known as Indrara, and also sometimes even known as Cain. And what they're really
now, Marduk was the one. Hold on, Marduk was the one that got sent to Mars, right?
Well, no, altogether different. But not different, because they're on a collective consciousness, and that's the game they love to play. Like I said, with server worship, two snakes working facing each other, but they're one, and that's really what's happening.
Okay.
They create the duality within the mind of this is good and this is bad. I'm good and he's bad, but still they're all with the same agenda.
Just like a Democrat and a Republican. Which you
exactly.
Realize the politics, what they're doing, they all work for the same system. You know what I'm saying? So even though they're playing the whole good guy, bad guy, really it's no guy. You know what I'm saying? In terms of that's concerned, it's one thing or one system or one collective that they're actually working for, so to speak, that governs all that over the whole situation, which means it's orchestrated.
Well, I mean, definitely, because Anu and Al still have to report to Ill. And it seems at this point that ill is, you know, it's just like you see in that word, he's a little ill. Like if you look at the word pill and you look at the word kill, and then you look at the largest pharmaceutical company, Lilly Illy, and then you understand what a Lilly is, and then you see their legends of Lilith. And so what happens is that if a person wants to access information of what's really going on here, that information is now available, which I believe is the peak turn in society as far as understanding when it's also the end. When information of everything really comes out and it's accessible, that's not the beginning. Normally, in their type of cycle, they don't enlighten people until towards the end. They would never tell their plans in the beginning. And that's also why that's what allows us to be able to talk about this type of stuff and be able to do that without the penalty of what it used to cost the last 15 years ago, which was, you know, they would just come to snuff someone out. But the fact of the matter is now our spirit, for those of us who are carrying the real bloodlines, because the bloodlines reincarnated the families that weren't royal so that they wouldn't be put under all the rituals that go along with the families that are in the bloodlines now. So they're free from those bonds. And those individuals are rising up now and being able to become the person for this age that comes forth and releases man and knowledge for the last end of age so they can get on. This is the same as the
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven, you're sounding a little bit distorted there. I don't know where you're at, but you're sounding a little bit. Sounds a little choppy. Okay, there. Now you sound better. My fault. Someone just had posted something in the chat about Marduk was the one that placed the net on Tiamat. That was the question that they had asked. And that goes back to the whole thing about the harvest, because a lot of people, I hear people saying things like that, the harvest, but I don't think people really understand exactly what that means. You know what I'm saying?
I was saying you can even see it from the terminology. If there's the fish is also the symbol of the soul, the sea, and then they put a net. Jesus is known as the fisher of men, and then it's called a planet, which is a planned net or a plant, some type of power plant. So when you look at the terminology that's being used, that's why I said it was right in front of one's face. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I see what's going on now. And then that's when it's necessary for one to get enough strength to break Andar, as they call it, Andara's net.
This is what's getting ready to happen again, though. This is what's getting ready to happen again, essentially, isn't it?
Well, the harvest. Well, the net. What happens is that how this all really works is that with the, let's take for instance Nibiru itself. When it was coming, when it was pulled into this direction, they used. People to worship the planet to bring it in this direction because it was in stasis, meaning it was already held in time, unmovable. And that's really what certain organizations that sprouted up were really set out to do. Certain cults were set out to get people to worship this being on so that and start bringing this ship this way for this what they do every 26,000 years. Because they understand that it's really, like I said, based on energy. And they collect energy. They're collectors of energy and harvesters of energy.
And that was the same thing that that basically Leonard Arnold was saying in one of his series, the God series. You know what I'm saying? He was basically saying pretty much the same thing about how, you know, human beings started worshiping and praying and doing sacrifice and sending their energy up to a being which called them forth to materialize here on planet Earth.
Yeah, definitely. The concentrated thought of an individual does bring that particular thing right out of nothing.
And we don't realize how powerful the mind is.
And they do. And that's the key, because when they understand how to focus a person's belief system and then put it into a word, and then they control that word, they understand the person is controlled by an actual entity itself. And that's why even companies become entities. Look what they name it. Let's go set up this entity, this company. And then so it becomes its own living force, most of them destructive. Even the building itself being a composition of nothing but stone, like they were taking all of the stone from Stone Mountain, Georgia, well, Elberton, Georgia, which is the largest granite deposit, and they were making all the courthouses and all the post offices with this stone and programming the frequency of the stone because it all comes from the same quarry. And then when the individual, if they're not spiritually inclined, which most aren't, especially if they're worshiping the same religion they do but don't know it, when they walk into these buildings, they're immediately disarmed. And you feel like, oh, this person's higher than me, this judge. And no matter what they say, you're like, okay, okay, thank you, judge. You know, it's $1,000, $2,000. Okay, thank you, judge. You see? So this is what they've done with the mysticism. And it's definitely in effect these days, and it's going to be a lot more in the future because that's what the world is going into next, is going into the age of ether, where, you know, we just came out of the space age. So all those who don't feel like the world is going to another level, you know, it doesn't matter. The world will be going to another level, and if they stay in the same state of mind, then they'll be getting left in this world. And that's really what's going on now. The ideas of the future are big.
Jeez. I mean, at this stage in the game, the goal essentially is just to get out of Dodge. You know what I'm saying? Not even really stick around for what's about to come.
Right. Motivation on the activation. It definitely does. I mean, but again, it's not hard for a person at this stage to do this.
So the whole basis of religion is to have people harness their energy to bring forth their master plan from day one.
Well, I mean, there's multiple. Nothing is ever created with one reason. Energy sometimes is collected to manifest the reality in itself. Like when you got immortals like Charlemagne, who built whole worlds based on the Nordic and Celtic beliefs and the power of those people and their affiliation with the elementals and the elves and different things and different beings. So
right.
When you're talking about a collective consciousness, here's what's happened. What's happened is that the group, the individuals have deemed that the ones that are not in the know, the ones that don't know anything about what's going on, are not included into their worlds of the future that have already been created on multiple moons, even the moons around Jupiter, even Jupiter. That's what they were really noting when they started doing the mathematics on space, is that this couldn't be what we were looking at in 3D, what was really going on the planet, because the sun here wasn't strong enough to power the planet based upon, like, the sun here is not strong enough to power Jupiter. So that's when they started figuring out more and more to a scientific level that, wait a minute, if that must be a product of us looking at Jupiter on 3D. And
right.
The reason why we can see teeming life on Earth is because we're seeing in 3D. So if we switch to 2D, we can see Venus. And if we switch to 1D, we can see Mercury. And if we switch to 4D, we can see Mars. And then so that's why a lot of the New Age movement is like, oh, yeah, you'll be going to fourth density. Man, you don't want to go to fourth density. There's nothing but another set of wars and duality going on in fourth density. But yet they because people don't do investigation on these terms and trust in their leaders and their masters, then they only forfeited what was told to them in the beginning, which is the soul is the most precious thing. You're to guard it with your life. The soul belongs to you. It's solo. So you can't trust it in the hands of anyone, or you'll be immediately deceived anyway because it's not supposed to be there. So that's really the ultimate fail-safe. As long as you're continuing to go to another god for what you need to be having yourself, then you've developed a crutch. And even though it may hold you up for a time, eventually it'll be time to get rid of it because you've got to walk straight. And that's really
right.
And that makes more sense than anything. And that makes more
right,
sense.
Right, because I noticed that those who – go ahead. You're right. Go ahead.
And the person will feel the relief, too, when they do this, because a lot of these gods are at war with one another and in duality, and that's affecting the person's life as far as on all multiple levels. They're always concerned about the monetary level, but it's multiple levels that people are being bombarded with because they have the emblems and symbols of these beings on their shrines and altars, never with knowing where these beings are, what they've been involved in. And that's what the code does. You know, we trace guys like Oannes, where the word one really comes from. We trace, you know, a lot of the individuals like Ra, Marduk, and Asmodeus and different beings that really, really have been running things for a prolonged period of time. But one thing is for sure about this time is that we have some individuals coming now because, again, like when one really sees the future, you see the future the way you want to see it after a while. Once you have a real foundation of what's going on, actuality, then you can create a reality based upon what you don't need to add to it. Like, it's like basically once you know what's going on here on Earth, you know what not to add into where you figure you're going to be going. Because it's going to, like, you automatically say, I want gold there. I want things to be gold. Gold is the energy of materialism. So if there's any gold anywhere, it's going to be some materialism going on. So basically what the person needs to do is stop thinking. stop thinking about where they're going to be going and what they're going to be doing, and start working on how to feel that within the body, how to be more solid about that, because you feel the energy and everything flowing through your body that you know will take you there, because it will start to. And that's really where the science does come into this, or the chemistry, not the science, but the chemistry. It's putting the bodies in balance again, and teaching a person how to breathe again, simple exercises, simple stuff. And then, bam, that's when they actually see who they really are. They start making contact.
Now, real fast, can you tell us briefly what a person could use to begin to start awakening their pineal glands so they can begin to start going through their process and whatnot? What type of things and techniques or herbs or things like that do you recommend? If there's any salts, any of that nature, what do you recommend for a person to begin to start getting themselves together in terms of opening up certain dimensions and things like that?
Definitely gotukola. That's gotukola. That's the strongest element known to decalcify the pineal gland. The pineal gland itself, when we say it's calcified, the pineal gland should be looked at more like an egg. And when that egg cracks, a person has to be really ready for it to crack. Because you have omniscience at that point. You have omnivision. Basically, when you open up two eyes, you see everything as duality at that point, because you're looking through two eyes. When the third eye opens, when the dream begins, the two eyes close and one eye opens. This means that you see things a lot more clearer, or you should, at least, if you're not being drugged, which a lot of us are with what's going on with the food and things. But what happens in omniscience, if you can bring this back into this reality, meaning you now have control over your third eye, which a lot of people will have here in a moment, what you will immediately see is you'll see the realm now, and you see it from more of a sensory basis, meaning almost like a night vision or a heat sensing vision, and then you can hear everything, even from smaller animals. And so this is where basically what's happened is all the channels in your brain have opened, all the nodes, all the antennas have opened, and you're now receptive. And the deal with this is that you have to be aware of what you're doing when you get involved in this area, because now you need to learn how to close certain channels and how to interpret what's coming in over the channel. But all of this is something that's generally instructed to a person through their sleep. The biggest interaction, once a person starts getting on this path of knowledge, will happen through their sleep, because that's the place that time doesn't exist. See, these beings, I will say this in conclusion. In conclusion of this, so that we don't get into the fear mongering here, these beings are going to run. When the dimension lines up and the ones that have been causing the issues here, when the dimension lines up, these beings are going to make a run for it through the portal. The beings that are coming,
and that's
there's
what
multiple,
this galactic alignment is about.
Yeah, it's about getting ships developed and everything to make a jump. Because here's the thing, if you're in space, now take your mind into space, you got to have a map of space. When you jump, when you do a quantum jump, what seems like 26,000 years to us is sometimes a day to beings when you're on different parts of the galaxy, because if you're in the center of the galaxy, time's going to spin in one area, one way, versus on the outside of the galaxy, where things like one cycle around the outside of the galaxy is like multiple cycles for those on the inside of the galaxy. So what happens is that when these beings make their come around, the dimensions themselves line up like 12 o'clock. Some beings with less equivalent technology or just beginning things, like our body is, can make a jump at that point, because it's like going down a straight tube. Versus if you try to make a jump now, which we do kind of every night, you see things distorted. You don't see things as they actually are. So because of the distortion within that things are not lined up. You know what I mean?
Right.
So basically, what's happening here is a line.
Well, all right, we got 1 minute remaining. Can you go ahead and give out your information one more time as far as where people can read the book, give them your website and all that stuff?
Yeah, that's www.thewords, that's thewords, thewords.me, that's ning.com. And the code is available there, and you can also interface with me there under the name of Sevan, that's Sevan. And so that's it, and we're getting to it. And you should expect the next series soon, the digital, the decoder. And there's tons of stuff there also. I wanted to thank you for definitely having me on the show and being able to get some of this information out. And, you know, maybe one day we could sit down for a lot longer and really put some stuff together. So just
yes, I'm really glad. When you guys get a chance, make sure you log on to IsisWisdom.com. If you want to get the revised hip-hop version, or you can go ahead and download it here at the blogtalkradio.com/IsisWisdom site. I really appreciate you guys for taking the time to tune in. And make sure that you tune in 2 weeks. I got the mother of the Matrix, Sophia Stewart, coming on the show, which is going to be very interesting. This is the lady who began to tell you guys, I think it was 9, 10 years ago, what time it was. You know what I'm saying? So really looking forward to getting with her. Make sure you guys tune into that show in 2 weeks. Just come back and check, and you'll see it on the site. In the meantime, peace out. Seven, you there?
Young boy.
Yeah.
Great show, man.
Dirty Cell, yeah.
Hey,
I ain't talking,
back.
Buddy. About to get that ass off. Watch, I get the club crunk. I'ma make them stop. We ain't playing on the front.
Hold on. Hold on.
Off.
I think I... That
like
means get the line open.
Doing stop. Now, where you from? Who the boss? I'ma break it home. Yeah. Where you from? Who the boss? Let me break it home. Yeah. Now, where you from? Who the boss? I'ma break it home. Yeah. Where you from? Who the boss? Let me break it home. I'm Cadillacing through the hood, sitting on 24. CB playing rims, spinning, blowing plenty throat. Don't have to mention when you pimping, you get plenty hoes. It's all on you if you gon' trick or you gon' get your dough. I know I got these haters mad, I can love that. When you got love for the street, they give you love back. Look in my eyes, you can tell I ain't never scared.
Oh shit, where'd you go?